Then going to the second topic of the agenda, which is SMEs that are subsidiaries, and we welcome Elizabeth, who will walk us through that.
Thank you. Good morning. This topic is actually about disclosure as well, so quite interested to hear your earlier comments. So this project was added to the work program as a result of comments received on the last agenda consultation. The project at this stage is a research project. The project is looking at whether it's feasible to let subsidiaries that currently, in their own right, will qualify to apply the SME standard, the IFRS for SME standard, whether those subsidiaries, whether in their individual entity financial statements, they could apply recognition and measurement from IFRS standards, but with the disclosure requirements from this standard. So two comments there. One is there probably is an expectation that because of the difference in when this was, or to the extent of alignment of standards. So there probably is an expectation that it won't simply be these disclosures, but we need to look. One of the things we're looking at in the research is the extent to which any tailoring to these would be needed, whether we would need to replace some of them with some others. And subsidiary that's eligible to use this, so I put the definition is in your paper, so an entity eligible to apply that, you can't apply this if you've got public accountability. So any subsidiary that's publicly accountable in its own right, so for example, that subsidiary's got listed debt, wouldn't be eligible to apply this, and therefore at this stage would be outside of the scope of the project that we're looking at. What we're not looking to do is change this standard. What we are at this stage looking to do is issue a completely separate standard that would be part of IFRS standards. So as I say, part of the research we're looking at to what extent we can simply take these disclosures or whether we need to tailor them, if so, how much. But part of what we're looking for is if the board were to do this, would the standard actually be used? You know, would jurisdictions permit it? And we're speaking to national standard setters on that. And preparers, would you let subsidiaries in your group, if the board issued a standard, apply that? So that's where I'll throw the floor open to hopefully hear your comments.
Okay, thanks, Elizabeth. Ian?
I'm going to surprise you here. This is a really good idea.
Thank you.
Really good idea, and I think it's a real opportunity for the ISB to further implement IFRS throughout the world. To give you an example, all of our subsidiaries across the whole of the group send us, in effect, IFRS numbers through the report. So everybody's doing it. They have their general ledger on an IFRS basis, and if they've got some statutory accounting, then they have to take care of that locally. So they've got the numbers locally. And where it becomes a problem, for example, is if they have a local statutory requirement to use IFRS. Typically, there's one or two people, they're usually the general manager, who have stock options. And then you get one individual person, and then you get all, you know, there's not a sort of light version of IFRS. So you get all the IFRS 2 disclosures on stock options for 100% subsidiary that has one person and all this stuff. And I wonder how valuable that kind of thing is to any user. So I think this could be a definite saver in terms of work for companies' costs. And actually, you know, if you're looking at sort of the local statutory accounts of 100% subsidiary of a company like ours, I'm not exactly sure how much the IFRS 2 disclosures are in any way relevant. It's all funded at group level. So I think there's a real opportunity here. And it's actually, it is a cost to implement IFRS locally, and it is a hindrance to people to actually go there. And in any jurisdiction, when there's ever a discussion about, oh, should everybody do IFRS, there's always people like subsidiaries of our company saying, oh, no, that's all a whole load of extra work. So there's a real opportunity here. I'd very strongly encourage this one.
Talia?
Because we're the group with the whole range of companies, including SME. Actually, our decision was that one standard applied to all, because it's more easy to process the data. Because if you collect it in one data model, then it's more easy to collect and then prepare all the disclosures. The matters on this, like IFRS 2 disclosures, we decide is if it's material for the group or not. If it's not material for the group, we allow not to do it, rather than applying ESMA standards for the small subsidiaries. So in our practice, one standard for all is working okay.
Okay, Srinath?
Yeah, the same thing what Natalia said. In our group, we don't encourage anybody to use SME standards, for the simple reason that we want uniformity across the group. Having said that, I'm not able to understand what exactly we are trying to do in this project. Isn't it under the current current standards? For statutory purposes, a subsidiary can still go with SMEs, regardless of what you do at the group consolidated accounts. Will this result in any changes to any of the existing standards? For example, anything to do with consolidation of financial statement standards? What exactly we are trying to do in this project? I want to hear.
This standard shouldn't lead to changes actually in any others, either full IFRS or the IFRS for SME standard. So you're quite right. The scope that we've got means that those subsidiaries could themselves already in their individual entity financial statements apply this if they wanted. Some of the feedback we received, I was trying not to lead you, I didn't want to give you, but some of the feedback we received that actually led to adding it to the work programme was that some subsidiaries might not want to use this in their individual entity financial statements because they're reporting in consolidation packs using IFRS standards. And there are differences in some of the recognition and measurement. Actually, it might not be attractive to those subs to apply this. So the objective is, if that means those subs would be using full IFRS, then what we're looking at is whether we can let them use the recognition and measurement from full IFRS, but with reduced disclosures, recognising that because they're SMEs in their own right, recognising that the user needs are perhaps different, well, are different, I should say, from those of a publicly accountable entity. So looking at reducing disclosure. And actually, just on the share-based payment, I mean, this does have a section on share-based payment, but yes, the disclosures required under this are quite a lot less than in IFRS 2. So it's not that there'd be none, yes.
So those subsidiaries which will choose to apply both SME IFRS as well as recognition criteria for full-fledged IFRS, would you expect them to disclose something in their financials to that effect, that they have done a mix of both? In terms of recognition as well as disclosure.
You mean if we develop a standard and somebody applies it, would we want...
Yeah.
We haven't yet looked at that, but I think so, yes, because I think...
Yeah, for a reader,
I can't speak on behalf of the board. I mean, we haven't even asked them that, but I would have thought so. I don't know. Is that what you...
Oh, yeah, first in the phase of getting new input, is it really kind of... Do you think, okay, kind of really a cost benefit in that? And that is because how it looks like, then okay, we have to debate then further on. But there was in the agenda consultation phase, there was, and especially from Preparer, saying, okay, they want to have it more or less for a cost because they have subsidiaries which apply in recognition and measurement of full IFRS. But okay, for the standalone financials, it would be, I think, for them cost-beneficial if we would allow to stick with the SME disclosure standards. It's only a cost thing. Mm. It's nothing kind of even more. Darren, maybe you can better explain.
I just thought maybe a couple of responses there that were important. So I think the problem that has been identified, and this is a response to you, the problem that has been identified is the need for a subsidiary to choose either right now, either IFRS for SMEs, in terms of which they then have different measurement criteria than their holding company. And so, too, I think your comment, Natalia, it means you've got two different data sets. And so the subsidiary has to maintain IFRS for SMEs data and full IFRS data. Or alternatively, the subsidiary applies full IFRS, in which case its data is correct, but it has to comply with the full disclosure requirements one level down. And I think those full disclosure requirements one level down, it should be remembered that because you're preparing a set of IFRS compliant accounts one level down, that means that you have to apply materiality at that level. And so sometimes it means that data that is immaterial for the holding company is material for the subsidiary, and so you're having to do generate additional data if you apply that approach. My thought on the question you just asked is I don't see how the ISB could possibly allow this type of approach without also flagging clearly to the user that what you're getting is the mixture of the two, but I agree with what others have said. We haven't made the decision yet.
Okay. Gary?
Thank you. Daryl said somewhat what I was going to say. I think you should think of this. This is an optional tool to be used if you so choose. You're internally doing IFRS upstream is, I think, another one of the criteria to use it. Maybe you don't need all the disclosures. Maybe, as Natalia said, well, I already do it anyway, so maybe. But so in situationally, you may have subsidiaries under the SME standard, under the full IFRS standard. Under this standard, should we finish it? And I suppose for subsidiary reporting could be local GAAP. And this is all kind of what your local regulators allow you to do. But it takes away nothing that already exists, that's available to you, required or optional. It adds an option. It really is a, I think of it as, is this just a cost-beneficial opportunity for it? And it's, you'd lose nothing, and maybe if you got 500 subsidiaries, maybe 50 qualify for this, or at least it makes sense. But it's basically accounting policy choice in IFRS speak, but it's, it can only be good for you. It might be neutral, but it can't be bad.
Yeah, I agree.
So we are not only looking at adding disclosure, we are also looking at...
Steven.
This sounds very similar to the environment that we have in the UK. And Tara's nodding, so I'm guessing it is. And so just a feedback that actually in the UK it's proved to be very popular and it has achieved the objectives that Daryl and Gary have just spoken about. The one thing that I would observe, so it's great for those who are already applying IFRS because they've already taken that decision to move away from a local GAAP and now find that actually they can reduce some of the disclosure burden. That's great. What we found challenging in some companies in the UK is where you're maybe deciding to apply IFRS because you have that policy decision. And sometimes you do have problems where the transition date is different. So actually you do still have differences between your subsidiary accounting under IFRS and your group accounting under IFRS. So I just encourage you to explore that and see whether there's something in the transition options that would help in that respect.
Okay, thanks, Stephen. Christoph, and then Richard.
Maybe similar to Stephen to make it a little bit broader. If we prepare the financial statements for individual subsidiaries, different challenges we have. Number one is the recognition and measurement challenge if that differs from IFRS. That's what you address here. The second one is a disclosure challenge. Now, with the disclosure, I've got to admit, I don't know in detail whether there are disclosures in the SME standard that do not exist under full IFRS. If that was the case, then this would be an additional burden rather than taking a burden away. But I'm not familiar enough with these. Yeah? So if it is really something like you have less disclosures on a full IFRS, fine. But if it is you have less here but more here, then I don't know whether it turns out to be such a bargain. Honestly, for us, the third issue is intercompany stuff. Because for group purposes, the intercompany stuff eliminated. So you don't do anything for intercompany. I know a lot of companies, for instance, intra-group leases. They did not move or not currently moving onto IFRS 17, but just leave it as it is. Yeah. That is maybe, in my experience, the largest of the burdens, that you suddenly got to apply IFRS to a lot of stuff intercompany that you wouldn't do for group purposes. And in particular, then it's this intercompany stuff where everyone thinks, well, that's up to manipulation anyway. Yeah? And then you invest all the work to get that to IFRS. So if you want to look broader on what other things we could do to ease the burden of preparing subsidiary accounts, then this would be one. And the one that Stephen said about different transition dates. So allowing an alignment on transition dates would move away yet another burden.
Thank you. Can I just answer on the disclosure, because that's actually quite quick. So I've started doing an analysis. I've not finished it by comparing the disclosure in full and in the SME standard. There are some additional, I've not come across many, but I'm not far through it. I don't think there would be many. In the main, this is reduced disclosure. There are some additional, but in actual fact, what I'm looking at, certainly one of the ones I came across that's additional, it's additional because the recognition and measurement's different. So actually, an entity, a subsidiary doing full recognition measurement wouldn't need that extra disclosure. So that's part of the, to what extent do we need tailoring that we're looking at as well. So I hear your overall messages. I just wanted to answer that.
Richard?
Thank you. Like Ian, I think this is a really good idea. Anything that can reduce the disclosure burden on subsidiaries, while at the same time keeping the recognition and measurement, which they're already doing and we don't want to duplicate, that's a very good idea. I would ask you to get the definition of who's eligible for this right, because you may have companies that don't have, that don't publish general purpose financial statements for external users. They may only have one external user, they may only have a regulator, or they may have no, or they may not publish general purpose financial statements, but still prepare them. So please get the definition right.
Okay. I mean, what I really personally don't understand regarding the benefits, the cost benefits, or because my understanding was if I'm a subsidiary of a group and have to prepare IFRS financial statements, also the IFRS full disclosure requirements for my parent company group accounts, why is it such kind of savings? Because I have to produce this disclosure, because I have to deliver it.
For the intercompany.
We only do that for whatever sector.
I take that point for intercompany, but I... For the rest, I don't know, because I would say, okay, if I deliver all the disclosure for my parent, then I maybe have to write it solely, but why is it...
Let's not forget, we have a lot of immaterial subsidiaries.
Yeah.
We don't require a reporting package from, because they are clearly immaterial from a group perspective, but may nevertheless be required to prepare.
You are immaterial for disclosure, but not for recognition.
No, because the recognition, that's what I use for steering the company. That's for my management accounting. They produce all that. But then at the end of the year, the reporting package, I have a reduced reporting package for the tiny ones because their contribution to the disclosures is minimal anyway. But they may nevertheless need to prepare for statutory purposes, as said.
I mean, for me, it is really important if we're doing that, because I think there is some work. Is it really a cost relief or is it... nice to have thing.
Right? Yeah, I can answer that. Just on the narrow case of IFRS 2, we have an external service provider that runs the stock option plans for everybody in the entire group. They deliver to us for the group consolidation all the information we need for all the IFRS 2 tables, and then we have a list of subsidiaries who have local IFRS reportings, and the external service provider has to redo it, provide us all of that, which they charge us for. We have to then send it down to these affiliates, and they put it in their books. And that it is as simple as that. It's not that the affiliates are running these disclosures locally for IFRS 2, and I suspect for many of the other standards as well. Yeah. So,
Richard.
Yeah. So to answer your question, its materiality can be much lower at a subsidiary level, and then the intercompany derivatives. If you're doing hedging through a treasury centre, you have all the intercompany derivatives in the standalone. To do all the IFRS 7 disclosures for those intercompany derivatives, all of which eliminate at the group level. So there's, it is a lot of extra work at the subsidiary level.
Okay.
I just want to express my support on the proposal.
Okay.
It's really good.
Good. Thanks for the input. Elizabeth had other questions? Or?
It helped a lot. Very, very much.
Okay, you are fine. Okay, then we move to the next.